Good morning. For those who don't know me, my name is Ben. I've been a part of this church for a while now. And if things seem a little bit different today, that's because they are. We're talking this morning about the doctrine of the person and work of the Holy Spirit and sanctification. And I've been given about 20 minutes to do this, you know, so no pressure. I'd really prefer to do this over, you know, 10, 12 weeks, but we'll do what we can. And this week, God decided that this week the sermon would not be written. So we're doing it off the cuff. We're doing it together as a church. I know where we're going more or less, but the Holy Spirit does what he wants. And so we've got a very good case in point example of that today. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to get into it, and be prepared. I will be expecting you to actually engage. We thank you, Father God, that you love us as your children, that you have not left us as orphans, but that you have given us your Spirit. And we ask that this week, as we try and grapple with who the Holy Spirit is and what he does and what sanctification is all about, we ask that you would work in us through that same Spirit, that he would lead us and guide us and bring clarity to our minds, that we can step out in faith for you day by day. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so I know those who are online can't see, but my wife and my son are standing in the aisles with a microphone each, and we're going to go to John chapter 15 and 16, the first reading we had, and we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is all through Scripture, as you saw on the clip we had on earlier, and I can't exactly talk about all of it. I might be here a while. Instead, we're going to focus on what Jesus had to say, and then we're going to talk a bit about some music, and then we're going to go to what Paul had to say on this matter. So if you can open your Bibles for me to the first reading, which was John chapter 15, verse 26, through to chapter 16, verse 15. When we start there with verse 26 and 27, what stands out for you? What stands out for you? And we're talking about the Holy Spirit here. It's not on the screen because this is all off the top, so we can't have it. That's why I said you've got to get your Bibles out. The Spirit of... Ezekiel. Got to pay attention, son. Come down here. Yes. Come down here. Go to Mayor. Mayor had something to say.
Spirit of truth.
Okay, so the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. Okay, Spirit of truth. What does that mean? Think about that for a moment. When Jesus is saying the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, specifically saying here that the Spirit, he will testify about me, and you also must testify. The Holy Spirit is here to reveal the truth. Not just the truth of, you know, who left the last drop of milk in the bottle in the fridge rather than replacing it, which would be funny, but no. It's talking more about, if we go to the end of that reading there, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. He will tell you what is yet to come. So the Spirit has the work of revelation, of revealing hidden truths. We saw that with the clip earlier when God used the Spirit to reveal to the prophets and through them to the people what was really going on. So that is a big part of the work of the Holy Spirit. What else stands out? So we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit here, who the Holy Spirit is and what he does. What else stands out from this reading for you? Hands up. Come on, guys. Yes. Wait for the microphone. Here we go.
He's sent from the Father.
He's sent from the Father. The Spirit is sent from the Father, but it's more than that, because Jesus says, when the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father. So it's not just from God the Father. Jesus is involved with the sending. See, some have this idea that the Holy Spirit proceeds from God and is affirmed by Jesus. So God the Father sends and Jesus affirms, and then you get the Holy Spirit. And there's this sort of hierarchical model of the Godhead. But that's not what's happening here. When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, so you get this idea that the Holy Spirit is coming from Father God, but also being sent by Jesus. There's no hierarchy. You know, it's not Father and then Son and then Holy Spirit. They are all part of the same Trinity. They are all God. They are all equal in stature and right and authority. Jono, you want to... So John has got something.
Really simple one. The Bible uses personal pronouns.
Yes, 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 yes. And this is super important because when we watch that clip and you talked about, you know, the Spirit hovering over the water and this idea of a power, it's really easy to depersonalize the Holy Spirit. It's really easy to do because we have God the Father, right? We've all had a father, whether they were good or not, whether they were present or not, we've all got one and we all know fathers, all right? I'm standing up in front of you as a father. So if nothing else, you can look at me and go, oh, father, I'm a terrible example, but Jesus the Son, okay, he was a man, literally born as a man and lived amongst us. We can see Jesus, we know he's a person. But the Holy Spirit is spoken about in terms like wind and breath and power and energy. How do you get a personalized power or energy? Just quick one. Just nod your head if that's something that you've struggled with, something you've grappled with. How do we do that? Right? How do we understand that? And it's really important that some Christians have this idea that the Holy Spirit is just the power of God. You know, it's like God is up there and he's heaven and he just extends his power almost like a superhero, you know, just powers out there and suddenly, boom, something happens. Oh, that's the Holy Spirit. That's God's power at work. No, it's not like that. The Holy Spirit is a person as much as the Father or the Son is. In fact, if we want to get really nerdy and talk about it, Ruach, the Hebrew word, which sounds terrible on a microphone, is actually a feminine noun. You can talk about the Holy Spirit, and language nerds will come and harass on me about this later. You can talk about the Holy Spirit in feminine terms from the Old Testament, and it's not actually incorrect. You can say she. In the New Testament, it's neuter, neither male nor female. The Latin is actually masculine. And so you've got a variety of things there. Scholars argue about it. They argue about a lot of things. But for me personally, I've actually thought about the Holy Spirit as she for a long time. There's reasons for that. But for me, it's about remembering that she is not the Father, not the Son, but is a person, is unique, special, has a personality. You cannot grieve a power, but you can grieve a person. And that is how it is spoken about when you blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, is you are grieving the Spirit. So it's very clear to the early Christians that the Holy Spirit is a person. So whether you want to say he or she, don't use it because you will forget that he or she is a person. Is there anything else from this passage that stands out for you from John 15 and 16? Yeah, up the back here, Ezekiel.
Well, it says that Jesus had to go away before the helper could come. In fact, the helper would not have come without Jesus dying on the cross for us.
Yeah, that's right. You see, and this is where I'm going to get Jono up in a moment, and we've actually got a really good musical illustration. He can get up and start getting organized for this. We as humans, from the fall, have been corrupted. And we can go to Genesis and we can talk about that, and that's a whole other message. But the reality is that from the beginning, we humans stuffed things up, and for that reason, we could not come to God on our own, nor could God bring us to him. There was a barrier. And it's only through Jesus that that barrier can be removed so that that can change. And this is where we're going to get to the music bit. So who likes music? Oh, only a few people. We should actually get rid of the music. There's only a few people who like... All right, so, it's all right. So I'm not much of a musician. Jono is. Who knows what this is? It's a tuning fork. Great. Okay. So we know what a tuning fork is. What does a tuning fork do? It tunes things. Okay. So I'm now in tune, am I? No. Okay. Great. I'm not in tune because this is a tuning fork, but I can't actually do anything with it on my own. I don't have what's called perfect pitch like some people I know. But a tuning fork helps you hear a note, right? So if I do... Can we hear that?
Yep.
Not sure if anyone else can hear it, but it's loud, right? So this makes an A. When I play this A, I can hear what an A is supposed to sound like, all right? I'm not sure how that's supposed to work, but it does. Now, if I was to tell you, Jono, without touching the strings, can you play an A on that guitar?
Kinda.
How do you play an A on the guitar without touching the strings? Can you do it?
Well, it'll make a sound of an A if somebody sings or plays an A into it.
Okay, so if I was to... The strings vibrate with the note from the tuning fork, don't they?
They do.
So we've got the strings vibrating and the box is amplifying it. If we didn't have the strings there and I just put this on there, which we're not going to do because that would ruin the guitar, would you hear the note?
You would, because the box is designed to do that.
The box is amplifying it, right. But if I take the tuning fork away, will it make the note?
No, not necessarily.
It won't. Great. Thank you very much for your help with that. That's a wonderful illustration. And so what I want you to think about, this is called sympathetic resonance, okay? If I have a wooden box with a hole in it, and I hit this tuning fork and I put it on it, the box will amplify the note and you will hear it. That's how the Holy Spirit works in people who do not trust and believe in Jesus. It's how the Holy Spirit worked in people before Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. Because the Holy Spirit could not dwell in those people. It could touch them, it could work on them, it could use them. And through that, God's power and presence and word and work were amplified through his creation. But before Jesus' death and resurrection, the Holy Spirit could not dwell in the people. As much as he made the notes, we couldn't hold them. And when Jesus came and he paid the price for our rebellion, when he set aside and paid the price of death for our rebellion against God, suddenly it was different. It's like someone's added strings to a guitar. You can play the note and the guitar can pick it up and play it for itself. And when the Holy Spirit comes into our lives, suddenly, we've got that note. And when God comes close to us, the note is resonating with us. It is amplified in us. And the process that we're going to talk about with going now to Romans of sanctification is the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, helping us to become more and more in tune with God, helping us over a lifetime to resonate with God, to ring out his power, his presence, his words, his work, and to share it with his creation. So if we go now to chapter 8 of Romans, verse 18. Now, we could have done the whole chapter, and I would have loved to, but we'd be here a bit long. So what from chapter 8, verse 18 through to 30 stands out for you when we're talking about the person and work of the Holy Spirit and specifically looking at sanctification and the work of the Spirit in our lives? Quick one. Who doesn't know what sanctification means? Anyone? Do we all know? Okay. Sanctification is making holy, right? To sanctify something is to make it holy or acceptable to God. When we are being sanctified, we are being made holy for God. Anyone got anything from chapter 8 here? Because otherwise I'm just going to start rabbiting. Anyone? Yep.
The Spirit or breath of God helps us in our times of weakness.
Which verses are you getting that from? I'm not disagreeing.
No. Yeah, 26.
Okay, so in 26. In the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he searches our hearts. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. The one who made us knows us. That's a basic thing. God himself made us. He knows us. I don't know myself as well as God does. And God in me, which is the Holy Spirit, he knows me. And when I am moved to joy, when I'm moved to fear and grief, whatever my emotion is, if I don't have the words, if I can't get them out in an eloquent fashion like today, the Holy Spirit intercedes. The Holy Spirit, he, she will take the words and bring them forth for God directly, even if they're not words. It could be wordless groans, as it says here. It could be thoughts. It can be, we talk about the gift of tongues, which I know some people use to pray. They don't know what they're saying, but they trust that God does. But it's the longings on their heart. And the Spirit is at work in them, in us, through our weakness. So that is a big part of what the Spirit is doing in our lives, in the work of connecting us with God through communication, helping us to resonate with God. What else stands out from the passage? Yep, just the back here.
That we have hope that one day the whole creation, all of us, will be freed from the corruption that's found in us.
Okay, which verse is that one for the people
that's
at home?
21.
In verse 21, creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. And so this is talking about the hope that God has and the plan that God is at work in for us, in us, through us. How can God's creation be liberated if God's chosen people, his image bearers, are not also liberated? Think about this. Are you a Christian because when you die, you get to go to heaven and sit apart from all of this and watch it go to smash? Is that why you are a Christian? Or are you a Christian because God is in heaven and God has a plan to fix all things, to set right all things, to restore this world and the people in it? The Holy Spirit's work in us is to bring us to freedom, to liberate us. And part of that is the liberation from sin, the liberation to no longer need to and be drawn and controlled by disobedience and selfishness and hurt and pain. It's also the freedom to not just be free of those things, but the freedom to choose God, to choose what he calls us to choose what he is desiring for us. And it's the Holy Spirit who reveals what that is to us and helps us to move towards it. It's that sympathetic resonance again. The Spirit in us is vibrating like a tuning fork, saying, this is your Lord, this is your Father, this is the one who loves you, and he is calling you to this. He's calling you away from this. And you go, yeah, he is. I want that. I want that. And this is how sanctification works. Moment by moment, day by day, the Holy Spirit in us resonating with God, helping us hear it and respond to it and echo that out, not just in ourselves and for ourselves, but for the people around us and the world, as God works towards the liberation of creation. Is there anything else that we've got here? We've talked about how the Spirit helps us in our weakness. The Spirit is at work for the liberation of creation. Is there anything else from this passage that's important for us to pick up? Down the front here, Mayor.
In verse 23, it talks about we ourselves who are the first, who have the first fruits of the Spirit.
Yes. Who was the firstborn of the dead? Jesus. Who raised Jesus from the dead? The Holy Spirit raised Jesus from the dead. Who is our elder brother? Jesus. Who then is also raised to life through that same Holy Spirit? We are. We are the first fruits of the Spirit in this world of death and decay that is looking forward with hope and the promise of the liberated creation. And as we are sanctified in our lives, every day the hope is that we will do this more and more. Now, I feel that, and I'm standing before you as someone who is longing for the new creation, not just for an end to sin, and not just for an end to the brokenness that we see in our world if you turn on the news or you talk to the people who you love and interact with every day, but also an end to pain. Because in the new creation, there will be no suffering. And as you get older, I'm sure that that's something that you two are looking forward to. The Holy Spirit, he, she, is at work in you and I. Has been at work in the world since before creation and will be at work in the world to eternity because the Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit reveals God, leads us to God, convicts, guides, helps. Like a tuning fork, the Holy Spirit resonates within us and our world, touching people and ringing out God's will and purpose and power and glory. The work of sanctification in us is how we become more and more in tune with God over our lives and echo that out. I don't know that there's a lot more I can say in the time I've got. So why don't we pray? And if you have questions about this, if you want to know more about sanctification, if you want to know how you can receive the Holy Spirit, if you're not sure about that, then come and talk to me. Because there's some very good news about that. And if you're not sure about the work of the Holy Spirit in your own life, and there's a lot of Christians who aren't because there's a lot of misinformation out there, then please don't leave today wondering. Talk to someone. We thank you so much, Father God, for the gift of the Holy Spirit, that he, she is at work in us and through us and for us for your glory. Help us to trust in you, to listen, and to each day submit that we might become more and more in tune with you, that we might be sanctified, made holy, and set apart as we wait for the restoration of all things through your power in the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We're going to sing Christ is Enough. Now, this song doesn't talk directly about the Holy Spirit, but it is about